The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Lord, that's our prayer this morning. That's the desire of your heart for us. You have a heart and you want us to have your kind of a heart, and you have given us a heart. But you want this heart to be a heart of flesh. You don't want it to be a heart of stone. You know that that heart has been packed and filled with darkness ever since the fall of man. Satan has packed so much death, so much darkness in that heart. And you even said in your word, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our heart. It will take you to show us what is in our hearts, because you are the designer of thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we lean on the two-edged sword this morning to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, that word that is the knower of the intents of the heart. We go deep within and cleanse our heart and move beyond cleansing the heart and purge the heart, because you can't purge whom you have not first cleansed. So we ask, oh God, that we will be justified so that we can be glorified. In the name of Jesus, I receive help to say again the things you have sent your servants to say to us this season. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, for instance, when you are asked to present your credentials, so they say, don't start writing your primary school certificate. Just start from, I think, university. Yeah, now, nobody cares about your secondary school, really, because the secondary school is preparatory for the main thing. So you just go straight to your first degree. And in fact, they ask you to start from the highest degree you have. So if you have a PhD, you start with your PhD. You go to your master's, then you stop at your first degree, because that is what is important. So your nursing school is not irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. Only that it was meant to accomplish a work. So whatever your nursing school, your primary school, your secondary school did, we will all see it in your first degree, in your master's, and in your PhD, right? So that's how Daddy described charity. So whatever it is that we do, when we come to God, He must just see that we have charity. But you know that a whole lot of work goes beyond the sin to get to charity. In fact, I began to appreciate more brotherly kindness. And God, let's even leave charity. Let's look at brotherly kindness. It's the penultimate to charity. So, and Daddy said it's different from charity. So when you hear love, follow after love, it's not follow after charity, it's follow after brotherly kindness. How brotherly kind are we? So it's a whole lot. Now, if you look at those who write programs and codes, then they write a whole lot of strings of syntax, very long and long and long, just to make a page shift like this and shift back. A whole lot of code. So it is with what God is doing with us, that God is going to do. So I know before we leave this world, we will never hear all what God has to say to us. Why? Not that we don't want to. The world is too short. Length of time of human life is too short to hear God. Noah preached for 120 years. Noah preached. Ark is coming. Rain is coming. He did that for 120 years. So that means many people died when Noah, between the time Noah started that message and the time he finished the message, many people died. So we should come to a reality. We understand now that all those things they used to tell us to happen tomorrow, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen like that. So we are not even about disputing whether rapture is, there is the rapture or whatever. As long as you are getting raptured every day in His presence, you are always in His will. That's what matters. So now look at it. You said rapture will happen. I remember I used to be in the ministry. They gave us a date, July 24, 1994. They said that's the day Jesus will come. And truly, every day, they said that day there will be no bed in the sky. Everywhere will be clear. And truly, everywhere was clear. But Jesus didn't come. And I remember somebody close to me was saying, oh God, Well, the people have gone to spread the news. That's why Jesus didn't come again. Somewhere in my mind, I didn't want him to come. I didn't want him to come that day. Not because I love him or I hate him, but I just feel that there's life ahead of me. Let's just live life. So, and that was 94, 92. Now he's close to 30 years, right? Or more than 30 years. And he has not come. So the truth is that in the next 30 years, he will not come. And how old will you be in the next 30 years? So, and how old will you be in the spirit in the next 30 years? How well will you have appropriated these things that have been said? You know, sometimes I hear what daddy says and I wonder, why is daddy talking like this? You know, one of those Wednesdays, two, three Wednesdays ago, daddy said, now I'm even being more careful when I'm talking with people. How I listen to them, how I judge them. I say, hey, daddy is saying I'm learning to be. If daddy say I'm learning to do something, so where are you in that scheme? So forget who you are. Forget that you are a pastor. Forget that you are a leader. Forget that you are anything, right? It's agreement. They are to serve a purpose, if you have not forgotten. For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The church is given to word and prayer, right? So whatever we are, whatever toga we wear, is for the essence of the word and prayer. It's not about that toga, right? So we need to really ask ourselves, how well am I doing in these things? Am I doing well? So I sang those songs, those two songs, to just see the summation. God is looking for a heart. I heard a story from Kirk Franklin. He said one of the preachers he liked to listen to told that story. And when he told that story, I said, oh, let me tell the story. The thief on the cross, when they got to the gate of heaven, and he said, hello, what are you doing here? Oh, he said, I'm here. Okay. When did you get born again? The angel was checking the book. When did you get born again? He said, born again? I don't know what is born again. You don't know what is born again, and you are here. Okay. When did you start speaking in tongues? Tongues. I don't even know tongue. Tongue? I speak Jewish language. No, I mean baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? You don't know the Holy Ghost? I think I'm here. Okay. How many services do you attend? How many times do you give your tithe? So, what unit did you lead in church? What unit? How do you serve in church? Are you faithful? Which family did you live with? Did you help them out? He said, I don't know. He said, so why are you here? The angel asked all the question that you asked the Christian. And he had no answer. He didn't even understand. He didn't even know they existed. And so why are you here? He said, well, I just, one man, they killed, we stole. So there was one man, they named us together. So as we were about to die, he just told me, you will be with me. And that's why I'm here. Just because he said so, I'm here. You didn't get it. Oh my God. It means it doesn't matter what you do. It's irrelevant. What is important? Will you appear in his presence? So look at that. So if you are glorying in the things you do, in your state, in this and that, they are irrelevant. Because if those things will matter, that thief shouldn't have made it to the kingdom. But he said, it was one man. He just told me, today you will be with me. And that's why I'm here. He brought me here. I'm not here because I got born again. I'm not here because I have the Holy Ghost. I'm not here because I did good works. I'm not here because I did all of that. As much as those things are very good, God is interested in who we become at the end of the day, not what we do for him, right? Are you with me? Oh, you are not happy now. Because you are already writing your CV. I served 3 units. From this to this, from that to that. No, God doesn't need that. God needs heart. Can you say heart? Can you say heart? There's a scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. Came into that scripture long ago. It said, the eyes of God runs to and fro through the earth. Imagine, the eyes of God runs to and fro through the earth, looking for a man whose heart is perfect towards him, so that he, God, can show himself strong on the behalf of that person. Look at that. So what is God looking for? When it runs to and fro, and I'm sure God is still doing this, his eyes are still running to and fro through the earth. Amen. So we read in that Isaiah 66. You know, I'm just going to be looking at the issue of the heart and those two key elements that are necessary to help the heart. That's meekness and humility. He said, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built me? And where is the place of my rest? What did he say? For all those things that my hand made and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. So if you look at man, man is in italics. But he said, but to this will I look. So what is that this? You know, the discourse is about a house. So, and that house that God is looking for is not one that has, that is made with hands. So if he says, to this will I look, even him that is in italics, poor. So a building cannot be poor. A chair cannot be poor and contrite. So it means that it's a man, it's a soul, it's a heart that is looking for, that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Then I tried to look at it in some translation. It said, the one who is bruised in spirit, who is humble and bruised in spirit. Another one says, the one who is humble and meek, a man that trembles at my word. So to be poor and contrite is a quality of a heart that God needs. And God can do so much with such a heart. Is that okay? Because it's not as much as what we do, but it is as much as who we become, right? Who we become. Then I tried to look at a man. So many translations, somebody said, one says a wounded spirit. And I began to look at it. If you have a wound, right? It's healed, but you still feel the pain. If anything impinges on it, you still feel the pain. How do you do? There's a way you flinch. When you have pain, maybe you are wounded somewhere and then it's healed already and somebody did not know, is just trying to play with you and just push you. What do you do? You shout because the pain is still there. So, and then when you know that people don't know that you have pain there and they are tending to want to play with that hand, what do? You are more conscious. You are always carrying the consciousness of your wound. So sometimes you do some play. You just remember, or you may not even remember, as you jump up to just that wound, just pulls you back. So it means that you are perpetually living in a state of carrying a consciousness that I'm wounded. So it means that you can't really do as you should do. You can't do as you ought to do because of that. So a man of a poor and a contrite is a man that is always having the sense of, you want to, and then you remember the pain. You want to, then you remember. So that's a state of heart that we are meant to be in all through, right? So another told us that Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. That's what he said. He didn't say, I can do this. And I like the fact that he told us about the new creation realities, an angle which he also used for those people when we meet them. I remember clearly, they said there are three things. When you come into Christ, there are three things you get to be who you are. You get to know who you are in Christ. Right, you get to know what you can do in Christ, then you get to know what you have in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do. I can do all things. So you see, they stay there alone, but there is always an attitude to be able to do all things. So they forget those frame of heart. Look at what they can do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly. And what will have? What will you do? You will find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Pastor Uta was praying for us the other day, and she made a statement. And she, as she made that statement, she said, we should repeat it. And I just wrote it down. I said, this is very profound. That's a philosopher, Pastor Uta. I said, this is serious. It's true. He said, no matter my estate, my permanent state is under the mighty hand of God. Meaning, I must be permanently humble. I first heard something close to that from Pastor Henry in Ife. He said, the gospel is not meant to change your estate, but to change your state. Meaning that, you know, now that you are born again, you are riding Okada. You don't want to ride Okada again. You now want to ride a Jeep because you are born again. Because you are born again now, you are living in a one-room flat. But say, now that I'm born again, now that I've been, God has helped me, I'm now coming to that. I should move to a three-bedroom flat. Now, the gospel is not meant to change your estate, but to change your state. Your state is who you are. To change you, not the things around you. So it means that if you are riding a bike, it doesn't mean that in the next 2 years you will now begin to ride a car because you now believe in Jesus. So who will now be carrying people to use bike? So if you are a truck pusher in the market, that's your job, and you make like 8,000, 10,000 per day, and you are okay, now you are born again, you are no longer pushing the truck. You feel that somebody should now be driving you around. So the gospel is not meant to touch things around us, but to touch us, right? So when the gospel touches us, the things around us will be touched. It's a law, having in readiness to do what? To avenge every disobedience. At what point? When? So the reason why God is not avenging many things that are in contradiction to you, many things that are disobeying you, is because you yourself, you are not obeying God. You say, in the name of Jesus, demon, I command you, get out. And the demon did not get out until you have to go and call daddy or call somebody. And the person says, get out in the name of Jesus. And the demon runs away like... And you're wondering why. Don't say you don't have power. Maybe your obedience is not yet complete. Or maybe you have not grown to that point where you need to. Because the Bible says, this son shall follow them that believe, not those who are stay 3 years in church. Them that believe. If you believe yesterday, you can cast out demon today. So I'm just trying to say that we should rather labor more on, is my obedience complete? Because if your obedience is complete, things will answer you. He said, I will hear heaven. We were saying it last Sunday. I will hear heaven, and the heaven will hear the earth, and the earth will hear Jezreel, and the corn and the wine will hear Jezreel. So it's not about corn, wine, corn, I call you for those. Just hear heaven. Heaven that you have heard, earth will respond to heaven because you have responded to heaven. So that's the point, that these templates of heart are very crucial. So if Jesus says that is who I am meek and lowly, right? You know, they are not the same thing. Maybe we should look more into them. There's no time. I'm meek and lowly. Meekness is not the same thing as lowliness. It's not the same thing as humility. So I began to ask myself, well, this humility, and I like what Daddy said. Daddy said, meekness is not being quiet. It's not about quietness. And it's not about being able to talk. So when you see somebody who is very loud, when I say loud, not in a lousy way, but who has an ebullient personality. The person can be here and will just be quiet. The person will shake you. The person will greet you. The person will carry you. The person will go to this. The person will make everywhere alive. That person can be meek. But in your heart, you will say he is not meek. You will not go and look for one brother that doesn't talk, that hardly says anything. When you ask him, he even tries to shy away from answering. He looks down. You say he's meek. It's a lie. You see, that brother that is doing like that can be a devil. Pastor Parker said there are patient devils and there are kind demons. Yes, they are demons. They are kind. I heard the story of an armed robber went to the house of one person and took the man to lock him in the bedroom and raped the woman. And as he was going, he came back and apologized to the woman and begged the woman that he was so sorry for what he did and carried plenty money and gave the woman and went away. What is that in that thief? Conscience. Something is pricking the thief. So there are patient demons. There are kind devils. And there are noisy people who are the epitome of meekness. So when you talk about this humility, it has nothing to do with the outward. Let's get it straight. It's with the inward. How, when you hear the word humility, just say, how I view myself. Humility. How do you view yourself? It has to do with you first. Are you with me? It's not just with the... It will touch somebody else later. But it is how you see yourself. What is the state of your heart? That is humility. Amen. But you see, when you come to meekness, you can't be meek to yourself. Meekness is that outward thing that touches on somebody else. Is that okay? And do you know what meekness is? Strength under control. Can you say that with me? So I'm just trying to put them in normal language. I'm not using spiritual language now, just normal language. Strength under control. Knowing that you have the power, you have the right, you have the authority to do something and you do not do it for the sake of Christ or for the sake of the commandment or for the sake of pleasing God. That he was saying it. Was it last Sunday or yesterday? That sometimes, it was last Wednesday, June message, that sometimes our being in positions may occlude our need for further growth. Because it will make us see that, oh, maybe I don't need this. And that if you are a floor member, you will know that you need them. You will respond to them, right? So it means that we don't stop in whatever state we are to keep asking these basic questions. How meek I am. How meek. I must labor. If my master says, I am meek and lowly. It's not Moses who is the meekest man, like that is said of comparison. No, that is who he is. He's an embodiment of meekness, right? And when you say Jesus was going about like a gentleman, quiet. He was just living his life. But the heavens looked at him and they said, this man is meek. Amen. So humility will say, I am not the center of the universe. Meaning it's not about me. It's about Christ and it's about my brother. John 3:16. He laid down his life for us, right? 1 John 3:16. We should do the same. that we should now lay our lives down for our brother. So they prioritize brotherhood more than yourself. Let every man esteem another better. You are the one that will say he is better than me. You are the one that will say she is better than me. You are not the one to, even if you are better, you don't show it that you are better. And you don't behave it that you are better. Now, that is meekness. Are we together this morning? Hallelujah. So, sometimes you have the strength. So, a close word to meekness is gentleness. You have the power to do something, but you don't do it. Daddy talked about right. And I looked at it. I said, okay, if I must put what Daddy is saying into words, I will call it right and responsibility. To every right, there is a responsibility. Are you getting it now? If you are made a class captain, automatically your responsibility escalates to meet up with the expectation for a class captain. But most of the time, we don't look at the responsibility. We look at the rights. We look at the perks of office. We look at the responsibility and demands of the office. Sometimes think about the president. If you really think about what it means to be a president, maybe you will have pity on Tinubu small. Whether you like him or you don't like him, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Are they shouting your name now to go and rescue those students in Oyo? Whose name are they shouting? I know your state governor will not be so happy that this thing is happening in state. But you are the governor. You ride new cars. You see their cars? Brand new. They can put four on the road at the same time. So that if one has a problem, they don't stop to repair it. They jump to the next one. They move. Do you know what it takes for a governor to travel to another state? Do you know what it takes? How many cars will they fuel with this current amount of fueling? That Ayedatiwa wants to come and greet us in Ondo. Is he the only one that will come? So he will come with entourage. Look at the fuel all those cars will take. Look at the people that will be on that trip. Press crew, ambulance, doctors. Now, I'm talking of governor. I'm not talking of Donald Trump. When Donald Trump travels from America to another country, millions of dollars have gone. Maybe you don't understand. You want to be American president. Do you know how many things you have to read in a day? You must read security briefs. You can't sleep when you like. There are some people, they are nobodies, but they talk to you. Mr. President, we need to go now. Remember when somebody wanted to shoot him? Before he can say, it was not, they didn't allow him to talk. He doesn't have, they move him. They will pull him. If it is possible, they will take bullet from him. But as they are taking bullet, they are also using back to push him away. He can't say, why are you pushing me? Don't you know I'm your president? No. They have a responsibility to the state. They don't have a responsibility to Mr. Donald Trump. They have the responsibility to the POTUS, the president of the United States of America. It's not about Donald Trump. The moment he leaves there, another person that comes there, they get the same thing. So it means that you don't have your life. But you like the perks of the office. Ah, see their cars. See this way, it's shiny. Remember, Bamangida came to those one secondary school then. And one of my colleagues said, ah! When he got to our place, he wound down and waved at us. You see his gap tooth. Beauty. Handsome, man. Handsome. The boy said, ah! I will become a military. It was so overwhelming to see president at that close range. Okay, oh. Go and be president, yo. The president that want to be the president is in Canada right now. Enjoying his life, doing his engineering, coding and all of that with his wife and a Christian. Then he used to be a Muslim, but now he's a Christian. And I'm happy for that, right? I'm saying that there are responsibilities to rights that are given to you. And then God will ask you how you deploy your responsibility in the confines of those rights. You know, something happened many Sundays ago. I was just looking. It taught me a lot. We were streaming. And then we saw that he sat down in Akure streaming on those service. The owner of the church, the senior pastor, call it any name. He too sat down. From beginning to the end of service, he didn't contribute anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, let me add to what you have said. He sat and watched the service from beginning to the end. I said, my God, how many leaders, how many pastors do that? Then he didn't say, oh yeah, I'm in Akure now. Move the camera. I said, no. He sat down in Akure. The girls are here in Ondo. And it was streaming. I know if it was you, everything will come and meet you where you are. That's a sample of somebody
who says it's not about who I am, but what we should do. What is it that is expected of us? So, and shows that example. And when we see that example, it will be out of place for us not to follow the same example, right? Hallelujah. So what am I saying in essence? That always tell yourself, you know, one way to measure humility is that you are not the center of the universe. And meekness is that is strength under control. I don't have to. And these things will be called to question different times of our lives. And the Bible says in the day of adversity, when your strength is small, if you are weak in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So that means when these are called to question and you fail, it means you don't have charity. Or it means you don't have brother kindness, right? There's no way to explain it. There's no way to explain it, right? One governor say, if he didn't day, he didn't day. Did you hear that, governor? And that was a very point. It means I've said it in a wrong way, but that didn't deliver the message. Meaning, if you don't get him, you don't get him. You can't give what you don't have. He said, if he didn't day, he didn't day. That's what the governor said, right? And I realized that many of us, we have horses that we ride. And I look at the scripture, I see that horses are used as instrument of power and strength, right? In fact, Psalm 20, he said, many trust in horses, and he didn't say many trust in goats or sheep. So horses, they are standards and placements that we leverage to do what we do, either to lord it over people or to do whatever we do. Horses are like the rides. Now remember the story of Saul on the way to Damascus. The Bible says they didn't tell us the animal was riding, but I'm sure that animal was not a lamb, was not a mule, was not a donkey. It must be a horse that he was riding towards Damascus, charging. And he fell. If you fall from a donkey, we used to have some donkeys in our school there, and they move around freely. They are not tall. Donkeys are not tall. And I'm sure he was not riding camel. It wasn't camel. It was a horse. He said, as you were going, a bright light. What happened? He fell. We don't need something to make us fall from our horse. You know, the English people say, come down from your high horse. Then I say, you don't even need to have a horse in the first place. Don't even buy a horse. Because the moment you have a horse, it will be doing you like to make it charge. You want to let it show its power. So God encountered this man and he fell from that horse. Remember Adonijah, the son of David? You remember him? 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, did what? So we have the tendency to exalt ourselves. Let's read on. What did the Bible say in Luke 14:11? He that exalted himself shall be what? Abased. But he that humbled himself shall be exalted. What did he say? He said, I will be king. What did he now do? He prepared him chariots and horsemen. He said, I will be king. And he went ahead and prepared him chariots and horsemen. And 50 men to run before him. 50 what? The number 50 stands for the number of the spirit. But he got 50 men, not the spirit, to run before him. And his father not displeased him at any time, saying, what hast thou done? And he was also a very goodly man. And his mother bear him after Solomon. And he conferred, look at it, he conferred with, he took counsel with Joab. Now, this Joab, attending, if you have read the Bible very well, the history books, you will see that there was no time Joab was ever subject to David. He was the right-hand man of David. But if David did not behave, Joab can beat David. There was a time Absalom died. David was crying. He said, King, we are risking our lives for you. You better, if I come back and I see you cry. I remember while in school, a speaker, they wanted to have Congress, and the president was teaching us in class. And the speaker, God rest his soul, okay, president, what are you doing there? We're having Congress. You are teaching tutorial. Bah! You know that speaker is the president. The president is. So that's how Joab was to David. In fact, at a time, God had to pray, Lord, deliver me from these 3 sons of Zeruiah. Joab, Abiathar, Asahel that can run. It can run. They are terrible. They were fighting one day. But David, Abed, don't go in trouble. Ah, you are getting weak. Go and sit down. He fought his own battle. He moved to David's home, and they never lost a battle. They are powerful men, but they are not meek men. Now, that is the person Adonijah went to call. Confer with Joab, Abiathar the priest. May we not fulfill bad prophecy. The prophecy on Eli, that God will destroy the whole lineage. Abiathar was the last in that lineage. If he had not done this, maybe God would have had mercy. He went to align with Joab. And God, all of them were forgotten. Now, where am I going to? They now told David, you know the story. Just read the story. They now told David in verse 8, see what has happened. But Adonijah did not call Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah. This Benaiah is neither a priest nor a prophet, but he was a wise counselor. One of those who supported David while he was running from Absalom. Now, he didn't talk to these people. He went to talk to a rebel and make me king. And they told David, what did David say? Verse 33. The king said unto them, take you, servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon to ride upon my what? Is it my horse? Mule. This is our riding place. This is what mule is a servant. Jesus in the gospel had four faces. The face of a lion, the face of an ox, or a mule, or a servant. That is Mark. The face of a man, look, and the face of eagle, the son of God. So Jesus Christ, what did he ride to Jerusalem? Did he ride a horse? If you read Zechariah now, you will see, behold your God, behold your king, behold the man, and behold the branch, and all of that. I'm just trying to say that we must ride on mule, not on horses. In fact, God warned them when they were going to multiply king, the book of Deuteronomy. He said, don't multiply, Deuteronomy 17, 16. When you have a king, he must not multiply horses. But no king of Israel, listen to that. They all multiplied horses. He must not cause the people to return to Egypt, because horses are associated with Egypt. The horse and the rider, what has he done? He has thrown into the sea. That was the strength of Egypt. Horses. Your strength must not be the strength of the other people. You must not leverage on what other people leverage on. You are different. You are different. You are a child of God. Keep seeing yourself in that light. I am a child of God. How well am I laboring to meet up with my Lord who is meek and lowly, right? Amen. So God does not walk with anything that is not meek. You know that? To this man will I look. To this heart will I look. A man of a contrite spirit. That is a frame. It's a frame. A kind of a frame. And we should do well that God will frame us into what he likes, right? Somebody says in a great, not even somebody, the Bible says 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy 2:19, in a great house. In which house? So it's a great house. He said there are many vessels. Some unto, and some unto, the one that are unto dishonor, where are they located? Where are they located? It's in the house. So the fact that you are in the house does not mean anything. Is to ask, am I a vessel unto honor? Or am I a vessel unto dishonor? He now said further, but if any man will purge himself. That was talking about purging and cleansing. That means this person that must purge himself has been cleansed. But he has not been purged. He has not been scourged. That he gave us a scripture many years ago about the process of Jesus. He was mocked. He was scourged. That he preached on it. Then they crucify him. That is said, before you are crucified, there are processes. There is mocking. There is scourging. You see, that scourging is not just cleansing. We are all cleansed. The truth is that all of us, we are clean. We are all clean. But we need washing. And after washing and washing and washing and washing, we now move to the realm of purging. What is purging? That is said, God does not deal with a branch that does not bear fruit. Which one does it go for? So it means that the more you are going better in God and you are becoming better in God, the more trouble you have. Somebody said pastors are the closest to hell. He said, why? He said, they are standing like this. People are going to hell, but they are standing to stop people from doing what? Going to hell. And they are stopping the advance of hell towards people. He said, but don't forget the fact that they are closer to hell. Any small thing, that's how it is. I used to wonder when I was a lot younger, when I read the story of Aaron and God killed Nadab and Abihu. What have they done? Did also fire? You could have said, don't bring that fire. But you know that the closer you are, the more severe your judgment. The servant that knows his master's will and does not do it will be beaten with many stripes. The one who doesn't even know the will will be beaten with Hallelujah. So there is an attitude that God always expects from those who bear his responsibility. The attitude of meekness, the attitude of compassion, the attitude of gentleness. And don't mistook these words. They are not words for weak people. And they are not associated in any way with weakness. It may make what you do weak and stupid, but they have nothing to do with being stupid or being weak. In fact, they are the attributes of the strong.
That was saying that to forgive and to forget, you need strength.
You need strength. God must put strength. And that strength is not the strength to break, but the strength for you to be something. Amen.
You know, two words used to jump at me in the Bible. The matter of the kingdom and the manner of the kingdom, right? 1 Samuel 10:25. You see the manner of the kingdom.
So there is always a manner to the matter. The matter is the content. The matter is the anointing. The matter is the power. The matter is the eloquence. The matter is the grace. The matter is the charisma. But what is the manner? It carries those things. So they told Saul, there is the matter of the kingdom, but you must have the manner of the kingdom. There is a way to manage this kingdom. So as a leader, that's why
somebody said something to Pastor Debo. I was asking a question, the person was shouting at her.
And when he told me, I said, that does not befit somebody who's supposed to be a manager of an establishment. A manager of an establishment where many people come to must be willing to engage in discussion. And he was talking to Pastor and he just walked away. I said, if I heard that and I knew their superiors, I will report and say, this person is giving your company a bad name. Because a manager must not behave like that. What happens to the customer is always right. Why do you go to the bank, despite the fact that they deduct your money, and you shout? What would they say?
We are looking into it, even when they're not looking into it. Or you go to doctors, you are going to die in the next 5 minutes. I say, don't worry, you'll be fine.
Eh? It's a training. It's a training. It's a training. You can never see a doctor betray emotion. Never. They are trained. It's a training. So there is a manner that goes with being a doctor. Because you're going to sit down for hours talking to people. Don't you have your own problem? Are you not even feeling headache while you are? You are there, but you must never show it. Oh, hello, madam.
Don't worry, you'll be fine. Don't worry, you'll be fine. If they even feel that you are not getting, they will go to their and mix something. Maybe the pure water I drank, or the bottle water I drank, the remaining one. He will put it in cup. He will put one salt or something. He said, madam, wow, I just drink this. In the next 5 minutes, you'll be okay.
As you saw that, you'll be okay. Why? It's psychology. They call it placebo. And you drink it. How are you feeling now?
Say, doctor, you are good.
No, it's a training. Because there is a manner that goes with that office. You don't just tell somebody, your brother don't die, oh, go carry him for the hour. No, doctors have a way. So as priests who reconcile people to God, that's our job, you know that? We are priests. We must do reconciliation every now and then. And you see priesthood is associated with compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I said, if Elisha had thought twice, he would not have caused those children. Go up, bald head, go up. Go up, bald head, go up. So the children were more than 42, but the bear was able to kill 42 of them. I felt it would have, maybe,
these children, they don't even know what they're doing. This Gen Z, they don't even know what they are doing.
And it cost them in the name of the Lord. And 42 died in one day. 42. How will you feel? And we didn't have a record that Elisha went to say, God, I'm so sorry for killing 42 children. He said, no, he moved on. That's how many of us are. We ride rough and we move on. We don't care. You shape in or you shape out. But we are not in the military camp. Even though this also, we have military lifestyle, but we are not in the barracks, right? So a priest, Hebrews 5:25, for every priest is taken from in things pertaining to God and men. He is taken from among men that they may offer sacrifices for sins. That he himself, I'm reading the last part now, is also compassed with infirmity. What must he do because of that? Have compassion on who? And who?
A lot of people are out of the way. And I understood that we already touched about feet and washing.
And now I used to think that those who are out of the way are unbelievers who are out of the way. No, we are the ones out of the way. Because our feet goes out of the way. If that feet is properly washed, it will be in the way. It should not be out of the way. So we are the ones who are also ignorant. We are the ones who are also out of the way. But this priest has compassion. Hallelujah. They told Jesus, send fire. You know, we used to sing, God of Elijah, send down fire. That song is not from charity. Because if God of Elijah send down fire, many people will be destroyed, right? So what will that give you? What joy would you write? So you can never sing that song. The disciples said, Jesus, let's sing that song. He said, you don't know what? You don't know what? Manner of spirit. It's not eloquence and anointing. Manner of spirit. We must wear that manner. He told Timothy, you have known my manner of life. Paul was a powerful man, no? But he told Timothy, he had a manner. He said, I came to you like a nurse. Thessalonians, I came to you like a father. I came to you like a mother. You know, use those pictures. How you release with them? Are we together? So a priest is who we are. And we must be custodians of manner of life of our father who is meek and lowly. Amen. Finally, let me read this scripture. Isaiah 42. Verse 1, behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. See what he has, see what he was called, my servant, I uphold him, is mine elect, my soul delight in him. And what have I done? I've put my spirit upon him. What will he do? He will bring forth judgment. So what's the job description? Bring judgment today. Now, what is the manner of doing that? He won't shout or yell or call out in the street. That's a version I'm reading. He will not break even a crushed reed. So a crushed reed is already crushed, right? But what will he not do? Don't come and break what is already about to be broken. He said, I said to you, that church, strengthen that which is about to, one of the churches, one something is about to go bad. He said, strengthen it. Hebrews, strengthen feeble hands. Confirm feeble knees. But some of us, we get to feeble knees. Why is your knees feeble? And we press it more. You are weak. And your knees feeble. No, the knee, if the knee is not feeble, it will be walking. That's the state. Verse 3. He will not break even a cross. He will not put out even the weakest flame. He won't quit or give up until he breaks. So what we are to do is to get judgment and bring it forth. But the manner of bringing it forth, he said, must be without calling, yelling, and all of that. And then, you know, it occurred to me that sometimes some of us are broken in spirit. When I say broken in spirit, not broken in spirit of brokenness of Jesus, but that we have been wounded. As though somebody has broken us. Your brother has broken. I have a word for you. And it's in 1 Peter. He said, to those who are troubled, what should you do? Rest with us. 1 Peter 9. Resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that what? The same affliction are accomplished in your... So you are not alone. And you must never... You are not allowed to react because of that. You are not allowed. Where was reading earlier, 2 Thessalonians 1 says, seeing it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you and to you who are troubled. What did he say you should do? Rest. Can you say somebody rest? Yes. Can you say somebody rest? Yes. Somebody sang a song. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it break your spirit. Keep your head high. Is that okay? Because that thing can cause issue. You say, this brother is all they say I should love. I can't do charity with this brother. His own is too much. And he said, don't worry. For such as those who have gone before you, they have felt the same thing. But what did he say? Just rest. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Because we are all on this journey. Do you agree with me? So we must always know that these two criteria, I didn't talk about lowliness, is another ball game. But I'm just looking at meekness and humility as the ingredients of the heart that will make God receive us. It doesn't matter what we have done. What God is looking for at the end of the day is what? Is what? So it's not your primary school, your nursery school, where I started your secondary school. What is important? Are you a degree holder? Can you do this job? So can you arrive there? But you know that those things will help you to arrive there. And we will arrive at charity. In the name of Jesus. You know, faith is a soup we are cooking. All of us are cooking this soup. God will taste it at the end of the day. There must be 7 ingredients in that soup. If it's missing, your soup will not be tasty. Your soup is the faith that you have. But you must add to it. When you cook your soup, you add salt. You add fish. You add iru. You add crayfish. So you add what? Virtue. And then you stir it again. You taste it. Ah! Oku dear. Then you go ahead and do what? Add knowledge. And you, it's sweeter than before. But not like it should be. Then you add what? You add temperance again. This is good. No, don't go and eat it like that. You know, some of us are like that. Once it's just okay, we go and eat it. No, you can't give that to daddy. Daddy will tell you, no, he's not done. Go and do it. Well, if there's something we are looking for, but you are not present to, let me just eat. Like Esau, seeing I'm dying, just give me something to eat. No, 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 God does not just eat something. It must be complete. Baba veje, moi moi, let me make it. It must be complete. And then you add again, temperance, what's up, patience. Ah, I've tried. No, oku dear. You know, the more you add, the lesser it remains for you to add. Then after patience, what do you add again? You have godliness. And finally, you now add brotherly kindness, which position used for charity. And when they now bring the soup to God, you will see God carrying the soup, drinking it, licking it, and licking plate. Because your life is pleasing. May our lives be pleasing to Him. In the name of Jesus. Can we pray this morning?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.